From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Major League Soccer in Sacramento has Ron Burkle. The Rail Yards have Kaiser. These are two very big stories for the capital city this week. I talked briefly with Mayor Daryl Steinberg yesterday. At this moment, he's on his way to Washington, D.C. for the U.S. Council of Mayors. You're going to hear some of the conversation. Last night, he and the city council expected to take up a proposal from the Sacramento Police Department. This was about changing rules about what can and can't be carried at a public protest. And that's a good segue into Cap Radio's senior editor, Nick Miller, because there's a bit more to that story before we have any decision. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Glad to have you here. So the council planned to take it up. In fact, I talked to the mayor yesterday afternoon about it, and then something changed.
You did. At the 11th hour, they sort of pulled it from the agenda. And I'm talking at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and the council meeting begins at 5. And the city manager, Howard Chan, explained that they received significant feedback and questions from the public. There were concerns, of course, for instance, from the religious Sikh community about whether they could bring their ceremonial knives if they were going to go to a protest, because the proposed ordinance bans all knives, which, you know, the city says is sort of a common sense precaution. We don't want people with knives at demonstrations. You know, that could be dangerous. But then there were also concerns about free speech, about demonstrators feeling like they were being targeted. So they punted. They kicked it back to a committee, and they're going to take it up again in early February.
The list of what would now be prohibited under this ordinance is pretty detailed and lengthy. Some of these items were there before, but just here's the short version. Lumber, wood that is 1/4 inch or less in thickness and 2 inches or less in width, any length of metal or plastic pipe, baseballs, bats, aerosol sprays, tear gas, projectile launchers, balloons, bottles, open flame torches, shields, bricks, rocks, asphalt. I mean, it really goes on and on. But if you look at some of the video from protests in the capital city, in particular over the last 2 years, there are some really bloody, violent scenes.
Absolutely. I think many of your listeners have seen those images from Berkeley in the Bay Area during the protests between Antifa radicals and white nationalists. We saw swords. We saw bats that said, you know, beat up Nazis. We saw people with shields. We saw them launching explosive firework type devices at buildings on the UC Berkeley campus. So these are the sort of videos and the images that law enforcement here in Sacramento are viewing and are responding to when they craft this type of ordinance. You know, the demonstrators, individuals with Black Lives Matter, converged on City Hall last night. They obviously didn't get the word in time that it was not going to be discussed. And when there was the opportunity to address it, the mayor actually had to leave the meeting and left. And people rushed to the front of the podium and were yelling and were upset, and they adjourned the meeting early. But this is going to be to be continued.
Where was Black Lives Matter on the concept of keeping protests safer and yet still allowing people the public demonstration, which is often emotional and sometimes volatile?
So it's really interesting. The conversations that I had with Black Lives Matter is that they need some of these items, the shields, the bats, the lumber, to protect themselves from white nationalists. And I think that directly speaks to the incident at the Capitol Park protest, where individuals were stabbed in Capitol Park in front of the state capitol a few years ago. And just sort of these other incidents that we've seen in Berkeley, where these protests have gotten violent, and the individuals on both sides argue that they need, you know, some sort of protection from each other.
I think I should clarify this. I think I said it backwards, Nick, but lumber, and often you see 2x4s being swung at the protests, at protesters. Any length of lumber or wood is being banned unless it's 1/4 inch or less in thickness and 2 inches or less in width. So really, they are wiping out anything that can be used to swing or hit or be a weapon or a defensible piece of, I don't know, wood, stick of any type.
That's right. If you have a piece of wood that's too big, no good. But if you have a small enough piece to hold a sign, say at a woman's march, that's okay.
And that's the important distinction there, isn't it? The police department issues seem to be coming before the Sacramento City Council more than ever in the last year, or maybe just in a more visible way. You've attended those meetings for years and years. What's your take?
I think this is a direct response to the actions and the demonstrations we had during Stephon Clark, but also just the contentiousness between some of those activist groups and the council members that we're seeing inside the City Hall chambers on Tuesday nights. If you'll recall, there was a similar ordinance proposed about decorum and behavior and how often and how or why we can eject people from council meetings that also got punted from the agenda at the 11th hour and has yet to be revisited. So there seems to be this pattern now, or at least it's occurred twice, where we're floating these contentious, controversial ordinances, seeing how they play out in the media, seeing what the conversation is like among activists on social media platforms, and then they get sort of pulled, and we'll see if it's going to be revisited. It's scheduled to be revisited February 5th in committee, so we'll see how it goes.
So let's listen to the conversation I had with the mayor yesterday, because I started on this, and again, this was recorded in the afternoon. He believed it was going to be on the agenda that night, did not have a clear indication of which way it might go, knew there was some opposition to it. So here's the mayor talking about the proposed ordinance.
The police department, the chief, came to me and asked for some, I think, very modest common sense changes to the law that ensure that the public is protected. And look at first and foremost, not only do I think protests are okay, I encourage them. This is the most important form of civic discourse and people exercising their constitutional rights. And I have no issue with people protesting, taking to the streets in peaceful ways. The ordinance simply says that you can't bring hard steel pipes or bats or things that could be used as weapons. And I think that's fair, and I think it's common sense.
It's quite a detailed list of items. Does that say something about how protests have changed in our city recently?
Well, actually, you know, even though there were some days of last year where I was worried about public safety, I actually am deeply appreciative of the way our community responded to some horrific events last March, the Stephon Clark shooting, and how largely peaceful the protests were. There were some exceptions. But I think this is a reasonable request. It's common sense. And I think it will assure people that they can participate, by the way, actively, vociferously in protests, but also remain safe.
Let me shift gears a bit, Mayor Steinberg, and give you two words. Ron Burkle. This is a name we've heard in Sacramento before.
My two words are woo-hoo. I am just over the moon. I am so happy today on behalf of Sacramento. You know, last year, in December of 2017, we went back to New York City and made our pitch for Major League Soccer. And it was a great proposal, a passionate fan base, great stadium plan. The league said, we need you to bring in a partner or partners that will help provide more capital for the effort. And they gave us essentially a punch list. And we spent 2018 working quietly, but working very hard. And we are partnering with Ron Burkle, who is a great success in every walk of life, who believes in Sacramento. I've known Ron for a number of years. And we are prepared to go back again to New York City, having met that punch list that the commissioner of the league put out. And I am very hopeful that we are going to win. We should win. And now we have met all the tests. So a great day for Sacramento. Not only the big Kaiser announcement for the rail yards, but we are on the doorstep of getting a Major League Soccer franchise. And what it also means for the overall development of the rail yards cannot be overstated. Because not only has Ron Burkle bought the team and the stadium site, but also the 14 acres east of 7th Street, which is going to be Sacramento's next destination district. And it really means that with the Kellys, who have really hung in there with the city for a long time and done a great job, that we have a chance now to catalyze this great extension of downtown in a way that will have tremendous benefit economically, job-wise, housing, affordable housing, for many decades to come.
Can I go back in history a bit on Ron Burkle? Can you tell me what your understanding is about why he dropped out of being part of the effort to keep the Sacramento Kings? Because when I said we'd heard his name here before, that's the history I was referring to about 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, Ron was interested in buying the Sacramento Kings during that 2013 chapter when we were fighting to save the Kings from moving to Seattle. And he would have bought the Kings. The issue, I think, arose because he owns a sports management agency. And for whatever reason, the league considered owning a team and representing players in any sport to be a potential conflict. So Ron wasn't able to participate there. But I know that the relationships that were developed at the time and his feel for Sacramento was nothing but positive. And so, you know, one door shuts and another big door opens, and this is a big, big door. And Sacramento deserves it. We're a major league city in every way. And this is a big, big deal, big boost, and the start of what I consider to be a year, 2019, of breakthroughs on economic development, on homelessness, on investing in youth and in neighborhoods. And it's only less than a month in the new year. It's a great way to start it. We want to be a great city. We connect all that excitement and growth to the neighborhoods and to the young people and those who have been traditionally left out. That's greatness. And we are equally focused on the neighborhoods. In fact, next month I give my State of the City address, which is traditionally a downtown venue. I'm going to be giving it at the Meadowview Community Center because I think that's not only the right signal. I want to talk about the neighborhoods and youth and tying all of these key pieces together, because we want not just a very good city, we want to be the great city that we are.
One last question, Mayor Steinberg. Can you tell me about the city's commitment to the stadium and entertainment district?
Well, I was very clear today in my speech that the city is not going to provide direct public subsidy, as we did with the downtown sports entertainment facility, the Golden One Center. And by the way, I supported that, and that was appropriate. But in this instance, the stadium is going to be privately financed. Mr. Burkle has bought the team with private financing. We are going to partner with the ownership and the Kellys to expedite and elevate the development of the rail yards. I will stand behind, as I said this morning, the establishment of an infrastructure finance district so that some of the revenues that are generated from all this new development goes back into the infrastructure. We are willing to negotiate pulling back the sign revenue, for example, from electric signage, back into the ownership and the project. We may be willing to donate some land that can double both as an MLS training facility, but also to expand our youth soccer fields. We're willing to waive some fees, but we're not writing a check. We're not contributing resources from our general fund, but we want to be partners in the right way, and I hope the public will strongly support the idea of the city helping to participate in the broader economic development objectives with a private finance strategy for the team and the stadium.
Is this finally, then, the development for the rail yards that people have been waiting eons for? However you want to measure an eon,
well,
it's been a long wait, a long promise.
I think it is a big, big step. But, you know, there's a lot more to go. But, you know, success begets success. And I did tell this story this morning in my speech of how in 1993, as a very young council member, I went over to the rail yards and met with their attorney and saw this great three-dimensional model. And they said, we're going to start development within a year. And, of course, went through my tenure as a council member, assembly member, senator. I talked about how Governor Schwarzenegger used to tease me all the time in our budget negotiations about how, you know, you say, Steiny, when are you going to do something about those rail yards? And Of course, not much happened. The Kellys were the right developer. They hung in there. It's not only Kaiser. It's this $450 million courthouse that we helped push through the state budget. It's now going to be Major League Soccer. It's going to be housing. It's going to be an entertainment district. And by the way, affordable housing as well. And it's just a huge boost. And so no longer are we talking about three-dimensional models. We're actually talking about vision turning into reality. And I couldn't be more excited on behalf of the people of Sacramento.
Comments from Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg in a conversation we recorded yesterday, and he was referencing the State of the City breakfast where he made the announcement about the Ron Burkle investment and the expansion of the rail yard development with the addition of Kaiser. Nick Miller from Cap Radio is in the studio with me. So just a P.S. to where does the Ron Burkle effort go from here? And by the way, this has been a really front and center led effort by the mayor. This isn't as if council members have the same expertise. He has, again, taken this as a very personal commitment of his own time and effort for the city.
Yeah, front and center and very behind the scenes, because during the past year, we were all thinking Sacramento's MLS effort is in the death rattle phase. Like, this isn't working out. This isn't going to happen. Yet in March, Ron Burkle was here. He went to a Kings game with then owner Kevin Nagel. Reportedly, he toured the rail yards. He's been in communications with the commissioner of Major League Soccer, Ron Garber. My theory here is that billionaires don't just jump in and make a big splash and say, I'm going to purchase the team and purchase the land and go for it, unless they have some inclination or maybe even an assurance that it might work out. Because I have a sense, you know, people like Vivek Ranadive, Ron Burkle, these billionaires, these uber wealthy individuals, they don't want to lose, right? They don't want to go into a process only to be told that you don't get your team. That's why would they jump into that?
Pause right there. Then what about Kevin Nagel? What about his experience in this effort?
Well, you know, he took the reins from Warren. He's not the billionaire that Major League Soccer wanted. You know, Major League Soccer told the city and told the Sacramento Republic that we need a billionaire, quote, whale to be the lead investor on this team. And sorry, Mr. Nagel, you're only worth hundreds of millions of dollars, not billions. So unfortunately, that's sort of the scenario that's at play. And you know, the mayor was very gracious yesterday to Nagel and thanked him for all his efforts for really driving this process and courting a new investor. But yeah, that's sort of my hunch. But it's pretty fascinating development. I mean, yesterday we went from not knowing what's going to happen in the rail yards, knowing that there's going to be probably a Kaiser project, to Kaiser's officially purchased the land. They're going to be building a $1 billion hospital medical center. And now Ron Burkle has purchased the proposed stadium site for the Sac Republic soccer team and an additional 14 acres near the stadium east of 7th Street, where he's going to build an entertainment district. And so this is a pretty remarkable development in the past 48 hours.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. In terms of talking behind the scenes, is Kevin Johnson a player in all this behind the scenes?
Yes. Yes, based on reporting that I've done and conversations that I've seen in public forums like Twitter and stuff by people who know, he's involved in bringing Ron Burkle into the fold.
And we should say he's the former Sacramento mayor who involved Ron Burkle initially in the effort to buy the team from the Maloofs to keep the Sacramento Kings here.
Correct. Yeah. When there was the threat of them leaving to Seattle, he was the one who brought Burkle on board. And Burkle had to leave, of course, because the NBA perceived it as a conflict. Yeah, he's involved. I mean, Kevin Johnson, the former mayor, attended the meeting in New York where they made that pitch to Major League Soccer. He was part of the contingent that flew to New York City to do that. So he's definitely involved behind the scenes as well. I won't pretend that I know the depth of his involvement, but it's my understanding that he's a player.
All right. I do want to note again something the mayor said, that he's planning his State of the City address at the Meadowview Community Center. So that date will be February 19th, just about a month before the one-year anniversary of the Stephon Clark shooting in the same community.
Yes, and this is really consistent with Mayor Daryl Steinberg's messaging during the past year, especially as it applies to Measure U. You know, we need to return to these underserved and frankly overlooked communities like Meadowview, like South Elk Park, like North Highlands. We need to start investing in jobs and community development in these areas. And so I think him hosting that State of the City at the Pinnell Center, and to give your listeners an idea, like these State of the City addresses, at least under his predecessor, Kevin Johnson, they were at the Memorial Auditorium. There was fanfare. There was bands. It was sort of an electric event, especially when we were the threat of losing the Kings loomed and thousands of people converged on the memorial. So this is really a different approach to that discussion of the State of the City.
Nick Miller is senior editor of news and features at Cap Radio. Thank you for this conversation. There were a lot of big stories to cover, and they're all just at the beginnings right now.
Yeah, it's an exciting year. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Nick. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.